This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Your holster is way more important than you think it is. It's just way more important than you think it is. What? Look, and I get that. The holster's not the sexy part of carrying firearms, right? You want to talk about your weapon and your ammunition. You want to talk about your safety training. You want to talk about how you did at the range. Oh, look at my groups. I was doing these failure drills today. And all that stuff's really important. I mean, really, really important. I'm not discounting that. But I've known so many people who do all those things. They take all the necessary steps, and then they carry with a holster they bought from a big box hunting store that was made 1,000 at a time. Please, don't put your life in one of those holsters. You need to trust Northwest Retention Systems because it's all custom-made gear. It's the only thing I carry around. NWRetention.com. That's NWRetention.com. Use the promo code Jesse. Get you 10% off.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Well, let me ask you a difficult question to answer. It won't sound difficult at first, but it's about to get more and more difficult. Let me ask you something. In the fictional comic book superhero world, is the Punisher a good guy or a bad guy? Now, I need you to, because undoubtedly, almost undoubtedly, you have a strong feeling on that one way or the other. You probably, judging by the people who most likely listen to my show, you're probably a Punisher fan. Yeah, I love the Punisher. I mean, for you comic book show movie fans, I'll tell you that Punisher show they did on Netflix was outstanding. Outstanding. But be that as it may. For you non-comic book fans or people unaware of what I'm talking about, this is the deal with the Punisher and the whole comic book thing that's turned into movies and shows or whatnot. The Punisher is not a man with superpowers, some former military guy. You know, they always change the backstory, but it's always former Marine, former Navy SEAL, former this, whatever. Always some guy like that. Gets his wife and kids, or kid, I forget. I think they may change the story each time. But it's wife and children, at least one. They get murdered by bad guys. And the bad guy changes. The sources of the bad guy change. But now you have this highly trained human being who's just has this horrible personal loss. And that feeling that you have inside of you whenever you think about something like that happening to your family, or God forbid, maybe it has, but whenever you think about that, that feeling you get of, I'll kill everybody. I'll hunt them all down and murder them all. He's the one, which is part of what made it such a great character, he's the one who actually did it. It's what made those comic books, I think I might not have even been allowed to read them when I was little. When I was a kid, I loved them, but the Punisher ones are dark. Darker than even Batman. Because Punisher does not show up to the bad guy's house and punch him out and leave him tied up in front of the sheriff's department. Punisher shows up, walks in the room of a very bad human being, and unloads a shotgun into his chest. Now, let me ask you again. Is the Punisher a good guy or a bad guy? Is what he just did to that bad guy, do you consider it murder? Do you consider it revenge? Do you consider it justice? And here's the ultimate kicker of a question. Do you think there's a difference between those things? What is, in your opinion, the difference between revenge and justice? Anyone? Gets a little murky. I'm the Punisher. I wouldn't kill that guy because he was a murderer. Okay. That sounds like revenge, right? It's revenge. I am the state of Pennsylvania. We arrested that guy, put him on trial, then laid him down in a bed, hooked a needle into his arm, and killed him. That was justice. What's the difference? Is there a difference? 1863 in the Montana Territory, they find a boy who's been shot. Now, I did quite a bit of reading on all these things we're going to talk about today, and a couple podcasts. One of them who did this story really well, I have to give a special shout out to him, was a High Crimes and Misdemeanors podcast. He really did this well, but as I was digging into these things today, digging into the territories, digging into how all that worked, it was extremely fascinating. Here's what's happening. Remember, 1840s, 1850s, 1860s, people are going west. They're going west for gold, for precious metals. This is, remember, the name of the San Francisco 49ers. They're named after the 1849 California Gold Rush. That's about that time. And other parts of the country, even though it kind of wasn't part of the country yet, they start getting gold discoveries too. And what really happens here when they discover gold? Because you and I like to imagine, because undoubtedly you've heard of people flocking west to find gold, pan for gold. And you get this image in your mind of what it is and what it isn't. Here's what it really was. You knew the West. Remember, we're talking untamed territory here. We're talking many of these places are not official states at all, like the one we're talking about today, and that's going to be important. The Montana Territory. What is the Montana Territory? Well, I am somebody who's actually from Montana, so I will simply tell you, environment-wise, like right now, if you go there, unbelievably beautiful, gorgeous mountains, perfect, perfect weather, mid-July. A dry 80, 85, sunny, maybe an occasional rain. You're walking through the wilderness, not a care in the world. except at this point in time, you had a lot of cares when it came to the Montana Territory. Some of those cares were Indians, bad Indian problem. Some of those cares were outlaws, because remember, you are a territory and you kind of have law enforcement, but you kind of do not. And know how beautiful it is there right about now? Go up there in December. It's a little different up there. It's wild. Montana, even now, to this day, feels wild. And that was the West. That wasn't just Montana, because there aren't very many people. There's only a million people in the whole state of Montana. It's the fourth biggest state in the United States of America. It's huge. But you'll get these gold discoveries. And what happened was, remember, things travel by telegram back then, and people get newspapers back then. And you'll be in a city, or what would be classified as suburbs of a city back then. And you read in the headlines, gold discovered in Montana. Now, let me ask you, something like that existed today. Because it's hard for us to understand. We've tamed everything. Let's say there was an island, a big island off the coast of California. It's not part of California. It's not a state. Technically, the United States owns it, but there's no city there. There's no government there. It's just woods and stuff. And you get word, personally, you read in the papers today, oh, my goodness, gold is discovered there. Are you personally packing up your stuff, either flat out leaving your family, maybe bringing them along? Are you going? Well, I'll explain why you may or may not. Hang on. It is time for you to get a home security system. You have to stop putting this off. I'm not trying to scare you, but look around you at the world we live in now. It is getting more dangerous. There's just no other way to put it. And if you think all this craziness is going to stay inside of these big cities forever, you've got another thing coming. It's not. It doesn't work that way. Crime waves don't work that way. It could easily come to your home. You need SimpliSafe now, and they couldn't possibly make it any easier for you. Go to simplisafe.com/Jesse. Pick out what you want. They send it to you. You open it. You put the sensors out. You plug them in, and you are protected, professionally monitored, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. SimpliSafe.com/Jesse.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
Should be noted, before we continue on our story here, it should be noted that it is my birthday today. Now, I want you all to know something about my birthday. I am not going to make a big deal of it. You're not even going to hear me mention it, because I think it's obnoxious when people talk about their birthday all the time, as if it's something special. Yes, 39 years ago today, I was born. And the world is so, so blessed to have me. But, I'm not going to talk about it on the radio. I have a national radio show. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm never going to talk about it. I'm not going to bring up the fact that people should pour their well wishes on me. I'm not going to bring up the fact that, I mean, the world's a better place for me being here. I'm just going to let it go. I'm going to be humble, gracious. I'm going to act like other people matter too. I'm going to, what, Chris? Sorry, I don't dwell on things like my birthday. I don't think it's a big deal. I think it's, I mean, it's just a day where I mean, I'm going to eat the things I want to eat. And if people want to tell me how great I am, that's fine. Now, back to Montana, the Montana Territory. You find out there's gold on that island. Are you going? Here's the thing. You're probably not. Why are you probably not? Well, you're not leaving the wife and kids. You're not leaving your husband for it. You're not leaving your job for it, probably, right? And if you are, what does that say about the current situation you were in? And believe me when I tell you, I'm not passing any judgment on you because I've been out of work before. But especially in this economy, if you're flat, broke, and busted right now, and undoubtedly some of you are, maybe you are going. What I'm saying to you is think about the people in the situation, in such a situation that they feel the need to go west, to brave things out west. And I cannot stress enough how much you're braving when you are going to the Montana Territory for gold. You are braving your scalp hanging in an Indian teepee somewhere. You are braving horrible wild animal attacks. They had a very difficult time killing grizzly bears back then, and it was a big, big problem. You are braving weather that kills people to this day. To this day in Montana, I'm telling you, I grew up there. Every single winter, there is somebody who will get a flat tire, skid off the road and on some ice. Something will happen where somebody will get stuck on the side of the road in wintertime and they will die. With all the modern technology today, it's that harsh. It's that vicious. Now go ahead and rewind to an era where everything is on horseback. And you don't think about that too much, do you? Horseback. Let's say you're heading to the next town over, which in a town like Montana now, let alone then, but then let's call it 50 miles. Let's say it's the winter time. You do the right thing. You pack right, you put on warm weather gear, and you hop on your horse to ride 50 miles. Do you know how many ways you can die along that trail? Do you know how many little ravines there are you can hardly see in Montana, now cover the ground in snow? Do you know how easy it would be to ride you and your horse off the edge of a little cliff? Forget cliff. Do you know how many gigantic holes in the ground you might not be able to see where your horse falls, breaks a leg, falls on top of your leg, and now you lay there and freeze to death? I'm not trying to scare you off from going. I'm trying to explain to you, because we have a Montana thing to talk about in a little while, I'm trying to explain to you how dangerous it is up there. And there's another problem, a big problem, especially around this time, the year's 1863. The problem is people are getting robbed. And I don't mean one or two people. I mean everyone who seems to be carrying a decent amount of gold nuggets or gold dust seems to be getting held up along the road. Why are they getting held up along the road? Well, that brings me back to what we were talking about before. who is going to these mining camps? What makes up a mining camp? Lots of times, most of the people there were pretty down on their luck. Lots of times, people in these camps had a bit of a checkered background. Is that a nice way to put that? Let's just be honest about it. Lots of times, these guys had their faces on wanted posters in other parts of the United States of America. But it's a really funny thing. These mining camps are fascinating things. You see, they came from civilization. They came from a civilized society in the United States of America. But what they didn't have was a civilized society they got to, so they kind of made their own and kind of didn't. They set up a camp. They set up a community. There was a basic understanding in these camps. This is my tent. That's your tent. I won't steal. You won't steal. Merchants would set up shop there. Lawyers would set up shop there. There are claims. There's even, as people do, and this is going to be important, there's even on occasion a sheriff elected. Why? Well, we have to have somebody look out for us. But here's the thing. The sheriff is somebody who's chosen from that population too. Sometimes you end up with a man named Sheriff Henry Plummer. Sheriff Henry Plummer, when he was elected sheriff, was a murderer several times over. Several times over. A man who'd already spent time in San Quentin. In fact, only got out of San Quentin faking like he got tuberculosis. Well, now you could find yourself in quite a pickle, right? If the sheriff over you is a bit of a crook, but it should be noted he's thought of as being relatively well-liked. Except people are starting to notice things in the mining community. They are. They're starting to notice, because word travels fast, that too many people are getting robbed. And remember, there's no money. When I said gold nuggets and gold dust, this is the Montana Territory. This is not the United States of America. There's no cash. Or if there is, it's very minimal. You buy things with gold. Gold dust, gold nuggets, that's what you buy things. It's everything. You get on your wagon, too much gold in it, you're getting held up all the time. And then they go from just being holdups to something else. Hang on. Raycon. That is the name that's going to be sweeping the industry when it comes to earbuds. And look, I say this from experience. I, quite frankly, live with things in my ears. I know that sounds strange, but I have headphones in for 3 hours a day on radio, then another hour a day on TV. I know what quality is and what it isn't, and I have never in my life had earbuds in my ears that sound like Raycon. The bass, the voices, that's on top of the fact that they're easy to pair, they're easy to control, volume up, volume down, pause, play, power on, power off, comes with this handy little case, lasts for 6 hours on a charge, and they're comfortable. Comfortable. Go to buyraycon.com/Jesse. That's buyraycon.com/Jesse. That gets you 15% off the already great price. It was actually not extremely common at this time for a robbery to result in a murder. However, the robberies started to result in murders. And if you're a mining camp and you exist supporting each other, you're kind of the outcasts of society, getting by, trying to make it rich. You are not going to stand by forever as you get robbed continuously. And now they're starting to kill people. Only here's the problem. They figure out Sheriff Henry Plummer's the one doing the killing. And his gang of misfits. He has a dozen, some say 20. You can't get good accurate stuff on it. He has men with him. They're doing the robbing. They're doing the killing. Now, what are you supposed to do about that? Remember our conversation in the beginning about the Punisher? If you're uncomfortable with that, and I mean, part of me wants you to be uncomfortable with that, but if you are uncomfortable with that, what do you do now? I'm not making this part up. This isn't fictional. This was real. People lived under this. The sheriff and his gang of misfits are robbing and killing people. What are you supposed to do about that? They form what's called a vigilance committee. Now, a vigilance committee is not the first. They're not the first ones to do this. It had been done other places in other territories. And they do this as a way. It's something society clearly does because there's not necessarily always an established law enforcement court presence. They do this as a way to create their own, you know, ad hoc law enforcement thing. These guys go out. They track people down. They make arrests. And that doesn't sound bad to some people. And as a brief side note, let me step away for a moment. I will tell you that doesn't sound terrible to me in my perfect libertarian world I'd like to live in, although I don't consider myself a libertarian. I'll explain that in a little while. I mean, just a quick side note, as I brought it up, I would love to live under a libertarian form of government. In my opinion, that's the most superior form. However, libertarianism cannot possibly defeat communism. Communism must be defeated before you put in that government, but that's another matter. We'll discuss that later in the show. So, in my perfect world, we don't need that many cops. How many cops do you need when everybody's walking around with a firearm? And it was like this a lot in these mining camps. This was a time you were armed at all times. But eventually, this is why you can't ever do the abolish all police thing. Eventually, like now, you run against some criminals who are just better at it than you, and you have to gang up and get them. And they gang up and get them, but here's the problem. They start by going after the bad guys who they know are bad guys, who they know are robbing them. And they start killing them. Yes, they're trying to have a trial. Let's do trials. But remember this, trials are real ugly business back then. And you'll hear attorneys complain about this today. But back then especially, there's almost no pay for the prosecutor, almost none. Think how hard it can be to convict someone today with all the forensic evidence and DNA and things like that. Now think how hard it is to convict someone back then without an eyewitness. How do you, I've always found that fascinating. How in the world do you even investigate a crime? Very, very, very difficult. Defense attorneys got paid more. Defense attorneys were more capable. So you can start having these little trials, and they do, but as soon as someone gets acquitted, well, wait a minute, this is a murderer, this is a thief. We know he's a murderer or a thief. Okay, no more trials. Now they're going to people's homes, often drunk, dragging them out of their homes, bad men in the middle of the night, throwing a rope around their necks and hanging them. I'm a dude. Part of me, when I hear things like this, cheers. Part of me thinks, good, screw them. They got what they deserve. But a couple things you need to note. One, this story gets uglier. Two, it's easy for you and I to cheer for something like that. Have you ever heard a man, even a bad one, wetting himself, begging for his life, crying before you tie a rope around his neck and watch him die? Again, looks easy on paper, looks easy in the movies. Could you do it? Could you do it? Well, these guys, they start doing it. They start doing it a lot. They even track down the sheriff, Henry Plummer, and they string him up too. But here's the thing, when it comes to justice, when it comes to lynch mobs, which this undoubtedly was, the Montana vigilantes, as we've talked about a million times on the show, once you get that kind of power, how often do people give back that kind of power? You get done hanging all the people you know are bad. Well, I mean, look, we killed all the murderers. Should we go home? Or, you know, hold on. Just hear me out here. What if we killed all the thieves too? You know what? Okay, we'll kill the thieves and then we'll stop. Then we'll be done. All right, everyone is in agreement? Yep. All right, that's what we're going to do. You hunt down all the thieves and kill them too. All right, are we done? Well, I don't know. We've got some town drunks around here. Maybe these guys who get drunk and start fights. Hear me out. What if we just got rid of them too? And that's the final thing. That's the final thing. And that's what they do. And these are not dispassionate trials of justice. One dude, he was a Mexican dude, completely innocent. The dude had not committed any crimes. I guess he was considered a nuisance is what they called it. They go to his home, try to kick in the door in the middle of the night. Again, everybody's armed, so he shoots back. I think he kills one of the guys, if I remember right. I know he wounds at least two of them. They get a howitzer and blow down his house. They then drag him out of there and mutilate the body. Getting uglier, right? Remember, you said you wanted to be Punisher. Well, this is what it looks like. In real life, this is what it looks like. Now, it's getting outrageous, so they decide, okay, we're going to set up a court. There are people of reason there saying, oh, let's set up a court. This is getting too much. Let's set up a court. The court takes time to set up. While they're setting up the court, the vigilance committee still hanging people, everybody they can get their freaking hands on. They've now moved on from murderers and thieves. Oh boy, they've moved their way down the ladder now. Hang on.
Is he smarter than everyone?
Who knows?
Does he think so? Yeah. The Jesse Kelly Show.
Vigilance Committee. Oh boy, do they start working their way down. Now they work their way down. They're hanging trail bosses. Man named Slade, a famous, one of these famous Western adventurers who were real famous back then. They start killing lawyers who represent the defendants. They start killing people who write critical letters of them. And maybe the best part is how it all ends. Finally, a newspaper prints a really ugly picture. People swinging from a rope. They wake up to the fact everybody's on to them and they're becoming the criminals. And they all just kind of go away. The Montana vigilantes hung 50 men. 50 men dragged out of their homes in the middle of the night, strung up. They were originally hunting, remember, it was like a dozen bandits. 50 men. But here's the thing. I don't know how to separate justice from revenge. I don't know what that word justice even means sometimes because it gets so twisted. They did solve the bandit problem. They did. One guy, when I was reading up on this and listening to stuff, one guy said, there were still robberies. Well, yeah, there are always robberies, but in this particular area, way down. Way down. What is justice? What is it? How is it different than revenge? I don't know. We talked about the Punisher in the total fictional superhero world. Let's be honest about something. He's the only one offering real solutions. How many criminals are left in the world? As long as we're doing weird superhero stuff today on my birthday. How many criminals are left in the world? You know what? Forget about the world. Let's do a city. New York City. How many criminals are left in New York City if Superman decides on his own, I am going to grab and squash the head of every criminal I see. I'm going to murder him. Or I'm going to hold him there and burn out his eyes and kill him with my laser eyes. That's how I'm going to kill every criminal I find. No more arrests, no more taking to jail, no more this. I'm going to hunt down everybody from petty pickpockets to murderers. I will find you, and I'm just going to kill them all on the spot, every one of them. That's horrible, right? That's horrible. It's ugly. My goodness, I wouldn't want to live in that city. What if you got somebody wrong, you know? But how much longer does New York have a crime problem after that? It's an interesting question, isn't it? Because I don't know the answer to it. But I know this. Societies, groups of people. I'm not necessarily talking about nations because I don't really consider us one nation anymore. We're so balkanized and broken up. But societies, groups of people, they will find a way to get the justice they want. Whether it's considered legal, whether it's considered morally right, they will find a way to do so. And here's something I struggle with a lot right now. I talked about it earlier, and it's time to have a frank conversation about it today. And you're welcome to call in 877-377-4373. 877-377-4373. I want to live under a libertarian government. It would be my ideal form of government. Leave me alone. I leave you alone. There are obviously huge problems with the Libertarian Party, mainly immigration. People think libertarianism can exist without strict control of the borders, and it simply cannot. That's the most naive thing I've ever heard in my life. It's real pie-in-the-sky stuff. Oh, our society can absolutely remain free. Well, yes, of course we'll take in those 50,000 people who have no desire to remain free. Are you an idiot? That's not how that works. At all. But anyway, be that as it may, I want to live under that government. I operate under a small, limited government mentality. However, aggressive steps, oftentimes bigger government, stronger government, more forceful government steps must be taken in the fight against communism, don't they? I'll explain in a second. I love the end of a week because I know I'm going to have a weekend with the family now. And I will be honest with you. My weekends with the family now are better than my weekends with the family have ever been because at the end of my work week, I'm not burnt out. I'm not tired. I'm not exhausted. And that's not because things have changed at work. It's because I'm sleeping 8 hours a night every single night with my ebb sleep. Every single night. You can have that too. It's right there for you. If you don't believe me, or if you're questioning it, go to tryeb.com/Jesse. Use the code Jesse, because that'll get you $25 off. Get your ebb sleep, and you can try it risk-free for 60 days. Find out for yourself. Stop this madness of not sleeping. tryeb.com/Jesse. Use the code Jesse at checkout. $25 off. There was a mini controversy, is a mini controversy in Portland involving this. We have federal agents in camouflage uniforms, helmets, and everything else driving up in unmarked vans, grabbing Antifa members, these violent vandals, Antifa, and chucking them in the back of vans and driving off. Now, it all shook out that they were processed, questioned, and released. The libertarian in me isn't great with it, but that's a very small part of me when it comes to this. Let me ask you, where should they have taken them in that van? Hang on, we're going to have a hard discussion here in a second.
Jesse Kelly returns next. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Let me ask you the ultimate hypothetical. What do you feel about those federal agents chucking Antifa members in the back of a van, releasing them a couple hours later? You probably don't care. In a vacuum? Again, this is where I'm struggling right now. I'm just describing to you what I'm struggling with. In a vacuum, I actually don't love it. In reality, the world we live in right now, I think they should have chucked them in a different vehicle and chucked them out something else. Is that too harsh? Is that wrong? Is it morally wrong? Is it justice? Here's the truth of the matter. And this is a fact. This is not my opinion. We cannot laissez-faire, mind my own business, all do me, you do you, our way out of this communist insurrection we are currently experiencing in the United States of America. It is not possible. And I am not for one second sitting here saying you need to set aside your small government, limited government, conservatism, libertarianism. Of course not. That's where we want to go. That is the goal. But here's the problem. Libertarianism can't defeat communism. It will lose to communism. So what's the other solution? Something like nationalism, which sounds great. I'm all about closing the borders. Problem with that, too. Everything has problems. Problem with nationalism is it involves more big government. The problem, right? The big problem? I mean, that's not what we want. It's not what we want. Big government. But what else are we going to do to these people? I mean, Portland won't do anything. Portland is openly allowing these people to destroy Portland. Big cities are allowing these people to destroy major U.S. cities. Again, the Federalist in me says that's your problem. Have fun. Ruin New York City. The American in me says New York City is an icon. We're going to allow these dirty communist scum to destroy a wonderful American city? We cannot allow that. What do we do? What is justice? What is right? What will happen? What will happen? Well, here's what's going to happen, and I don't have to guess because history tells me so. What's going to happen is this. Unless we do something radical and change it, we are going to sit and let these people take and let these people take and let these people take. And when these people are done, when we are done letting them take it, what's going to happen is we're going to choose somebody that you and I should be very, very afraid of, because he's going to promise to finally fight back. People think Donald Trump was something outside of the norm. This vulgarian guy we voted for because we think he's a strong man who's going to take it to the left. Donald Trump is a benign, relatively tasteless appetizer of what is to come if this doesn't stop. As the leftists get more rabid and more radical, there is going to be an answer from the right that is more rabid and more radical, and probably, not possibly, probably somebody who does things that make you and I very, very uncomfortable. You remember we did that episode on Chile last week. Shut up, Chris. That's how you say it. Are you uncomfortable with Augusto Pinochet picking up communists and throwing them out of helicopters? Are you uncomfortable with it? I kind of hope you are. You know things like that are coming, right? Someday? It's not coming tomorrow, but if we don't get a hold of this communist insurrection in America, of this plague of injustice, then justice is going to come. Justice is going to come in one form or another. It is. I promise you it is. Because just like in that mining camp in Montana, people will only put up with abuse for so long until they eventually get their own form of justice. They're going to choose somebody or something or somebodies who will fight for them. And when they do that, when that day comes, if we fail, and that day comes where a very, very, very bad man from the right takes power, who will fight the commies, you know who will be to blame? It will be you and I. We will be to blame because every weak-kneed, mealy-mouth response we put out there today, maybe we should actually just take down a couple Confederate monuments. These don't make me comfortable, but nothing else. You guys, are you street mobs? You're okay now? Oh, you want more? Oh, I'm shocked. I had no idea you'd want more. Every capitulation, every bend of the knee between now and the day that strong man rises, every single one of those is the reason the strong man will rise. I don't think this. I know this because societies always seek a balance. The more radical the leftists become and have become, the more violent the leftists have become, there will be an answer from the right. And what I'm asking you, the reason I brought it up earlier today, is how comfortable are you watching someone die? Probably not very for most of you. I would hope it would be not very for most of you. We're talking real lives here. We're talking life and death. We're talking about ugly things. Look at these headlines. All these headlines, they're all the same. All of them. Portland's Democrat mayor attempts to blame Trump for ongoing violence. This is him trying to kick out the federal law enforcement guys who are arresting Antifa. Another headline. Missouri governor says he'd pardon St. Louis couple if they're charged for brandishing guns at protesters. That's the Hill. So again, we're now, as you see it happening, don't you? You see two different. Well, there's not another way to put it, two different standards for law enforcement, two different standards of justice. That couple, well, they're in a liberal city, so they'll be prosecuted in the liberal city. But then the conservative governor will step in and he'll pardon them right away. But then this liberal judge will jump in. And so now, because you don't have a judicial system, you have a different politicized body. Now it's about to get real radical. This judge will pardon him. This judge won't. Because it's all on politics. And finally, and this is really what I want to dwell on here for a few, because boy, do we need to. White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, quote, "It's time for people to go to jail," talking about an imminent indictments in the Durham probe. Hang on one second.
You're never completely ready to adopt a teen.
For late nights writing English papers.
For your teen's music taste.
For dinners, where they talk more on their phone than with you.
For the first time, they call you mom.
You're never completely ready to adopt a teen, and you can't imagine the reward.
To learn more about adopting a teen, visit AdoptUSKids.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council. part-time job, full-time hustle, all-time Shiro to all of us. You nurture, we listen. You teach, we thrive. You lift our spirits, but we've got to lay down the truth. It's time for you, our Shiro, to stretch for the stars. Start saving more for retirement now so you can feel prepared and live your life to the fullest. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings now at aceyourretirement.org/Shiro.
A message brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
July 20th, 1981. That was the day. Well, the world was blessed. The world was blessed because I came into it. That what, Chris? That was the day I was born. It is my birthday today. Just saying. Meadows signals an imminent indictment in Durham probe. It's time for people to go to jail. Let's just set this up again. I know you know this, but let's set this up again. We are at a time in America right now, especially with what we've seen in the past few months. We have lawlessness everywhere. It's all over the news. It's everywhere you look. Allowed lawlessness. These cities have told these people, they've told their police departments to stand down. And what that has done, what that has to do with all this Durham probe stuff, is it is putting more and more in the minds of the American public that there is no justice, that things are lawless, and that is a dangerous thing. Now, when it comes to the probe, we have President Barack Obama. President Barack Obama, his FBI, clearly either under his direction or with his direct knowledge, used fake information, completely fake information from a foreign intelligence agent who was working for the Hillary Clinton campaign, created a dossier, took it to the Federal Bureau of Investigation, who then took it to a FISA court and got a warrant to spy on not only an American citizen who was innocent, but on an American citizen who was his political opponent. That is state police Stasi type stuff. It is. That is a huge deal. The biggest political scandal in the history of the United States of America by a mile. And I'm telling you, Mark Meadows, it's time for people to go to jail, he says. I am sending this signal to Durham, Barr, Republicans, Democrats, everybody in D.C. Somebody better go to jail. Somebody had better go to jail, because what you're seeing right now is the American public losing faith in their own government, losing faith that there is such a thing as justice. And when they get to that point, you get to a point quickly. Well, looks like Montana in the 1860s. It does, or worse. You had better start sending signals to the American public that there is justice, that the people in the in crowd will be held accountable, because if you do not, you are partially responsible for what comes next. And what comes next never is good. Ever. It's ugly. It's bad. I don't want it. I don't want federal police grabbing people they don't like and throwing them into unmarked vans. At the same time, federal police better keep grabbing people they don't like and throwing them into unmarked vans, because something has got to put down this commie insurrection now before it gets any worse. And not just because of them, because of us. Because the longer we put off a legitimate answer to this, the worse our answer has to be. Those roots, those commie roots, are already very, very, very deep in the United States of America. And that means right now, if they didn't gain another inch of ground, right now, it would be extremely painful to root them out. I think I used the word root too much there, but that's not important. It's my birthday. How much deeper are you going to allow them to go? Because at some point in time, they can get so deep it'll kill you to root them out. I'm struggling personally. I am struggling personally with what I want from my government right now. And I should clarify, when I say I don't want federal agents throwing people into unmarked vans, I'm saying that because I know for a fact the leftists will turn around when they gain power and start throwing you and me into unmarked vans. I don't want government to have that power at all. Now, it turns out these things were totally justified. These were people threatening, vandalizing federal buildings, so they were being detained for that. If you can't tell, the shows recently should be a pretty good indicator to you. I'm very worried that we're already past the point or rapidly getting a point where solving our commie insurgency problem is going to involve doing things that I don't ever want to have to do. And I don't want you to have to do. And I don't want to have to read about it in the papers. I don't want to have to watch it on the news. I don't want that. I just want to live in peace and be left alone. That's all I want. I don't know if I'm going to get what I want, though. And that sucks. Because these people are not backing off. They're not getting shyer. They're not losing their motivation. They're not backing off, and they're not going to back off. And the problem is, there's no history, and you know how much I love it, and you know we study it all the time. There is no history in communism, zero, none, zilch, that has them backing off without being forced to back off. Are you comfortable with communism? I'm assuming the answer to that is pretty much universally no. So let me ask you. Are you comfortable with a solution to communism? You know who defeated communism, right? It wasn't just Pinochet, but who defeated communism in his own country? You know Adolf Hitler did? Got a lot more uncomfortable now, didn't it? I don't think we need to model ourselves after the Antichrist, but he didn't do it nicely either. And these examples are ugly, and they're tyrannical, and they're murder. I'm all ears for another way. I want another way. I'm desperate for another way. So somebody tell me what the other way is when they own all of it. Half of the two political parties, the media system, the entire university system, the entire entertainment system, over 90% of the federal government, over 90% of the federal government. That is deeply rooted, firmly entrenched. How do we stop this madness? How do we get these people out? And how do we do it the right way? Because that's what we want, right? Isn't it? Hang on.
You know, your house smells. Don't get mad. Don't get mad. My house smells too. I'm not indicting you. I'm sure you keep a clean home, but just time means you're going to acquire smells, whether those are cooking smells that get in your paint, your carpet. Maybe they're animal smells. Maybe you're a smoker or someone else was. Just living creates smells. I didn't realize that my home had a smell to it until I got my first Eden Pure Thunderstorm, the greatest air purifier I've ever owned in my life. This thing, I had it plugged in for 2 hours. I came back in the room and my air smelled so clean. I now own 3 of them. I'm not making that up. This thing has absolutely changed me on top of what it's done for my allergies. Go get one. Get 2. Be like me and get 3. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse. That gets you $10 off and free shipping. EdenPureDeals.com, promo code Jesse.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.